And while we were on this trip to Dresden, I met people who were with us on the same transport. I will tell you about one woman that I met on this return trip a few years ago to Dresden. We were on a bus retracing our route of the death march. And while we're on the bus, a lady is sitting next to me and we start speaking. She's still speaking Polish. She lives in Herzliya, Israel. But people had this Polish connection. They were speaking Polish with each other. And I said, please, I don't remember Polish anymore. Speak English or German, which I know. They said, you don't speak Polish? And I said, no, I live in Oklahoma. There just isn't an opportunity to speak Polish. So this lady sitting there, she starts speaking to me in English. She knows English. And we exchanged our names, and she heard my maiden name, Volman, and she said, Volman, Volman, die Volmanowa. In Polish, a woman's name changes. It's different from a male's. The Volmanowa, my mother, she says, I remember her. I remember her. And she had a little girl with her. She always had a little girl with her. And that's you. And we embraced. Wow. And I am in contact with that lady to this day.
Tell me again, when the fire broke, you may have
said... Everything was burning. This was one of the bombings by the Allies, but specifically British and American. The firestorm, there were two times, and it pretty much erased that very beautiful city. But this is what I meant when I said that we, the prisoners, the workers in that factory, felt that there was someone that wanted to win the war to help us. Yeah. I didn't know it until then. How could this be going on if the world knew?
Yeah.
So if I may, I'd like to tell you what happens now. After a while, they decided to walk us to an unknown destination. And this is now March 1945, after the bombing of Dresden. And we walk along the river Elbe. Days and days, and people who can no longer walk and collapse are shot on the spot. We were weak, sick, hungry. We kept walking. It seemed like eternity. Nights we spent often in open soccer stadiums. And while we're walking, a nail in my left wooden shoe, I still had the wooden shoes, embedded itself on the side of my left foot. I was in terrible pain. And I begged my mother. Always we walked in fives. It's called the death march. We were dragging along. We weren't marching. My mother on my right side, always myself and three other people were walking. I begged her to stop because I was in such pain. She asked the SS woman, not German, she was from the Ukraine, Katya, if we could stop for a minute so she could pull that nail out of my foot and get it with the rock out of the shoe. And Katya said, nein. She shouted, nein. And you don't ask again. And mother kept pulling me along, until we finally got to the stadium where she was able to get the nail out of my foot and out of the shoe. Some rag torn off what we were wearing wrapped around it. How I didn't get blood infection, I will not know. I have a scar there to this day. A mild reminder. But I must tell you something else during this walk. It was dusk, walking through a very picturesque little German town, always middle of the street. I remember seeing, you know, curtains behind windows and lights and thinking, I will never live like that probably again. These people have beds, families, food. A German man, a civilian, came from somewhere, came right behind my mother and handed her a piece of bread. And I always tell the students, or anyone for that matter, this man was a hero. Had he been noticed by the guard, he would have been shot on the spot. So when I tell the kids to remember and learn about these monsters, Hitler and Goebbels and Eichmann and all the others, to also remember people such as Miep Gies, who saved Anne Frank, such people as Raoul Wallenberg, Oskar Schindler, and this unidentified German civilian who dared to give a Jewish woman a piece of bread.